Man, turn to your neighbor, because I feel like we're all kind of tired this morning. Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, come on, man. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive the word? Can you like shake them up a little bit? Go ahead, please, touch them on the shoulder. Can you shake them up? Because they look so tired this morning. Go ahead and do that. Touch them, shake them, slap them if you have to. The Holy Spirit come upon them. Amen. So many of our brothers and sisters are traveling. You know, they've been traveling and they're still traveling. And we just came back from our vacation as well. And it was a really blessed time, a time of rest. I thought about church about three times. And every time I thought about church, I said, no, I'm not going to think about church. And I just cast it out of my mind. And so most of the time, I didn't think about anything except just, you know, playing with kids and spending time with family. And I want to encourage you again. Summer, we're about halfway through summer. If you've not done that with your family or your friends, loved ones, do spend some time. Amen. Spend some time with your family. Take some time. Just go for a drive. Go to the beach. That's free, right? Driving is not so free because it's so expensive, but take some time to be with one another. Let me get into the word this morning. As you can tell by the bulletin, we're going to be talking about vows this morning. Yesterday, I was able to go to, as most of you know, a church planted a couple of years ago, and one of the sisters, she got married yesterday, and, you know, after a long period of time, and her husband is a very interesting fella. He even says, what's that guy's name he looks like? What's that guy's name? You know, Ben Stiller. He looks and acts like Ben Stiller. He has no neck, and he's very passionate. He's a funny guy, and they got married yesterday. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy going to weddings. And I haven't been to a wedding in a while, other than like performing a wedding or something like that. I haven't been to a wedding in a while. Some of you may not like that. I do. It's free food. Right? There's free food at the wedding. You don't have to worry about much. You just go, and it's fun, entertaining, right? Everyone has a good time. So I enjoy weddings, and I think I enjoy weddings for different reasons than other people enjoy weddings. I know for women, when you go to a wedding, what do you think about? Let's be honest, okay? When you go to a wedding, what's the first thing you think about? Pretty dress? Not pretty dress, right? It was pretty, not that good of it. You know, I mean, I hear this all the time. It was a good dress. It was a not. What else do you think? What else do women talk about? The food was good or the food was bad? Right? Am I right? It's just me? Right? Yes, food is good if food is bad. And, you know, there's all these things that go on. How was the reception? This and that. When I go to a wedding, what I enjoy and what I think about is the actual ceremony itself. I think being a pastor and marrying people, those vows that people take, you know, it reminds me of the seriousness of marriage. And it also, you know, since Stacy and I, we celebrated our 12th year anniversary last month, it also is a good reminder, you know, just of our marriage and our vows. And they played a game yesterday, and they invited Stacy and I to come up and be a part of the game. And we were talking about, you know, our marriage, the first time I saw her, what was she wearing, and all this kind of stuff. And you know, and I was really contemplating, you know, seriously, I was contemplating about the vows that I had made when I got married, and how important they were, and how difficult they were to keep, and how strenuous it is at times, and at other times how it's such a blessing. Being married for 12 years, right, and many more years, God willing, to come. And I want to focus this morning a little bit on vows. Vows that we make to the Lord. I would like you to take a moment, since you're all in such a quiet and meditative moment already. I want you to take a moment and reflect upon the vows you have made to the Lord. Think about that. Vows that you have made to God. Whether it was at a retreat 20 years ago, whether it was at your, you know, during your quiet time this morning, everything in between. I would like you to recall and think about the vows that you make to the Lord. I want to start off. We're going to go back, actually, into the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 28. But I'm going to start off even earlier than that. As you recall, we talked about Jacob and Esau a few weeks ago. And we talked about how Jacob, you know, kind of the schemer, wanted the blessing of the father. And, you know, so he tricked his brother and he tricked his father with the, you know, with the encouragement of his mother to steal the rightful blessing that Esau should have received, right? And so he stole it. And for those of you who are not, you know, familiar with the scripture, you would think that, you know, that's the end of the story, but it's not, of course. What happens is, as you go along in chapter 27, if you have your Bibles, please open it up there. It's not overhead, but I just want to share this a little bit. In verse 27, what happens is, of course, Jacob receives the blessing, and his mom tells him, you know what? Your brother is going to is scheming to try to kill you because he wants the blessing back. So you better prepare yourself, and you better take off because your brother is going to kill you. And so, he goes to his father, and his father blesses him, goes to his mother blesses him, and he prepares to go because he understands that his brother is going to come and try to kill him because he wants the blessing back, right? He wants the blessing back. And let me tell you, I have two boys, one older, one younger, and if one of the boys takes something from the other boy, there's no way they're going to let that go. There's no way. It took us like 30 minutes to get to the wedding yesterday, and within 30 minutes time, I know I talk about my boys a lot, but you know, they're there. 30 minutes time, man, they were arguing, pulling back and forth over and over again, just about the littlest minute thing. Now imagine the blessing that was stolen, and this is what happened. And we see here that he runs, and he is running, and he is going, and this is where we actually pick up Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. We're going to focus on verse 10 and 11 one more time. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. I want you to know that Haran, of course, as you know, his uncle lives there, and it's north of where he is right now, and it is a 400-mile journey. 400 miles. How many of you ever traveled 400 miles by foot, by donkey? How many of you have? How many of you have ever traveled 2 miles by foot or donkey? Huh? Looking at you guys? No, come on. Let's be serious. Man, I have aches and pains after just walking to my car. 400 miles he went. There's no roads. There's no, you know, cars. 400 miles I'm very familiar with because that's where my parents live. 400 miles from here in Arizona. So I'm very familiar with that road. Driving about 75 miles an hour in a car, it takes me 6 hours to get there. That's 60 miles an hour. The average human walks about what? Like 2 or 3 miles an hour. So think about how long of a distance he has to travel. And think about this as well. Your brother wants to kill you. You don't have a lot of time. You take what you can, and then you take off. And this is what's happening. He grabs what he can. His mom says, go to your uncle's place 400 miles away. Get going. And so what happens? Jacob left Beersheba, and he starts setting out to this place. And on his way, he's going to stop at Bethel, and then he's going to stop at Jerusalem, these key places that we all know in the New Testament. And he's going to make his way to a place where he really doesn't know anything about, right? Verse 11, when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep, right? He reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones, he put it under his head and lay down asleep. We see that already this is a guy who trusts the Lord. I want you to think about, okay, your brother is chasing you and wanting to kill you. And, you know, if you do some archaeological work, you realize there's not like forests and things. There's just dirt, and it's desert. This guy's stopping in the middle of a desert to spend some time to rest, takes a rock and starts sleeping. And you could see that, you know, he really does trust the Lord. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 12, it says, as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick, dreadful darkness overcame him. We see this happening in the story of Abraham. We see this happening in the story of Isaac. And now we see this happening in the story of Jacob. Verse 12, he had a dream as he is sleeping, in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. Right? It says here, I am the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. We see here a lot of imagery things, right? Most of you know the story of Jacob's ladder and all this. This is a part of that. And what you see here, of course, is a ladder representing Christ. And already there's a projection of what's going on. And we see that God is entertaining Jacob and wanting to have this invitation with him. In John chapter 1, verse 51, it says, then he added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And this is the first image we have of that. Verse 13, I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. We see here the very first vow that God makes to Jacob. It says here, I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Years earlier, God met Abraham and told him this exact same thing, right? He said, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. I will give you land. I will give you prosperity, and I will make your name great, and I will expand you. And he's doing the exact same thing again. He's doing the same thing again. He's reiterating the fact that you are chosen. Even this conniving fella, God said, you know, despite what you have done, I'm still going to keep my promise I made to your grandfather and your father's father and to your father and to you in the lineage of Israel. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Jacob's vow is verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. So we see God made a vow. He promised that, you know, I will make your name great, make you into a great nation. I will use you to spread who I am across the world. And then Jacob makes a vow and said, you know what, God, if you give me safety, if you watch over me, if you protect me, because I have 400 miles to travel. I want you to think about this. How many of you feel safe enough? Last night we were in downtown LA because we were, you know, at the wedding, of course, and then we had an urge to go to King Taco very late at night. You know, and we used to live in, you know, I mean, we used to go to church in L.A., and King Taco was across the street. And so we used to go, how many of you have been to King? It's addicting, right? So there's some kind of drug in there, I think, that just, you know. And so we were close to, you know, downtown in L.A., and we said, let's go, let's do it. And so we went down, you know, parked in downtown, and I went in and got some tacos. And how many of you would be willing to walk by yourself downtown L.A.? How many of you would feel safe enough, especially women? Would you feel safe going all by yourself downtown L.A.? You know, downtown L.A., there are people who always talk to themselves, right? You know, they always just walk and they talk to themselves about something. And, you know, it's scary. It's a scary place. I want you to think about this guy here. He has to travel 400 miles by himself. in territory that is normally very antagonistic against the people of God. And he's saying, God, I'm making this vow. You made this vow to me. Now I'm making this vow to you. First of all, you have to protect me. You got to protect me. You got to watch over me. Make sure that I'm okay. Secondly, you have to what? Provide for me. You have to give me food, right? You have to give me water. It's 400 miles away. I need food. I need water. I need shelter. I need your protection. Thirdly, you got to return me back home. See, Jacob's very clever. He's not just saying, God, watch over my trip there, but he's saying, watch over my trip there, watch over when I live there, and then watch over me until I actually get back home. Now, we understand that in order for him to get back home, a lot of things have to happen, right? I mean, there has to be some reconciliation. A lot of things has to happen. So he's saying, God, I know the vow that you made to me. Okay, now I'll make you this vow. You do that for me, you're going to do that for me, but in order for me to live for you, you need to give me this, and you need to give me this, and you got to give me this. And he makes these vows to him. The next verse says, and the Lord will be my God. Verse 22, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. What he's saying is, God, if you do this, if you follow through, then this is a place where I will build a house of God. And that's what he's saying. I want you to think for a moment, because I asked you to do that, about the vows that you have made to the Lord. Some of you have not made too many vows. But you know what? Something as simple as, Lord, I'm going to do my quiet time this year is a vow. Something as simple as that. Some of the youth, I know many of our youth are traveling, but you know, those of you who are at the retreat, I know so many of you made vows. Lord, I will do this. Lord, I will do this. And it's so easy for us as we're in this journey to forget about the vows that we have made to the Lord. But I want you to understand that God never forgets the vows he's made to you. But many times we forget the vows we've made to the Lord, right? We see that, you know, Jacob didn't say, God, I want this and I want a kingdom. God, you know, he didn't say that. He said, God, will you just protect me? Just let me get to my uncle's house safely without dying, and then somehow return me back so I could reconcile with my family. Verse 22, it says, Verse 22, it says, and all of that you give me, I will give you a tenth, right? What we see here is this relationship that's forming, this new relationship that's forming. And I want you to think about the vows that you have made, because we're talking about vows this morning. What you see in the next following chapters, which we'll go into later, is that he gets there safely. And what you see is that he gets married. And he gets tricked into getting married to someone that he didn't want to get married to, just like he tricked his brother. And you see that he has to serve 7 years to get married. And then it wasn't the woman that he wanted to marry. And then you'll read again that he has to serve another 7 years. And you'll see that he finally gets to marry the woman he wants to marry. So at least 14 years he is working. At least 14 years of his life, he is trying to live his life and get back to the promise that God promised him. And I don't know how many of you have made vows. Some of you, I think, are not even 14 years old in here. But sometimes we make vows. Sometimes we make vows and it's been a year. Sometimes you made a vow at last retreat and it's almost been a year. This retreat is coming up, right? Some of you made vows last year and said, God, if you do this, I will do this. I know it. Some of you made vows maybe 2 retreats ago. Some of you made vows when you became a Christian. Some of you made vows during different times of your life. I know it. And you've forgotten about the vow and you think maybe it's too late, but I want you to know it's not too late. And more importantly, God's holding you to your vow. He is. You know, when you say, God, I want to live this life for you, do you think God just says, whatever, okay? No, he doesn't. He takes it so seriously, and he wants you to take it so seriously. And in fact, we see that Jacob took it so seriously that when he made this promise, he took a stone. See, when you read the scripture, you're saying, well, what's the big deal about putting? No, when he puts a stone down, he is saying, you know, this is the spot where I made the vow. And you'll see like about 14, 15 years later, that God actually keeps his promise and he returns Jacob home. And then as Jacob is returning home, he does reconcile with his brother and God kept his promise. And then God is moving him to a different place in land, but he goes back to Bethel where he placed that rock. And he what he does is make another rock and makes another promise to the Lord. And he goes back and fulfills his promise, just like God fulfilled his promise. You know, in your personal life, God has fulfilled a lot of promises, hasn't he? He has. I know. When you read in your scripture, when you live your daily life, you absolutely know God has fulfilled some of his promises to you. Maybe not all of them yet, but he has. Mark those moments. But the bigger question this morning is, what kind of vow have you made to the Lord? Some of you made vows to teach and you're not teaching. Some of you have made vows to step up in the ministry, in the church, and you're not doing it. Some of you made vows that, Lord, I'm going to do my quiet time this year. You've not opened up your Bible once. And I want you to know God takes your vow very seriously. God does. We have at times a picture of God that's wrong, I think. All we see him is this loving daddy that's always pampering you. That's not who God is. That's a part of his character, but that's not fully who he is. When you make a vow to the Lord, he wants you to keep it. He wants you to remember it. He wants you to fulfill it. He wants you to go on the journey and start interacting in that vow that you made. Amen? He wants that because he wants you as well to be able to have a moment in time where you build an altar and you say, Lord, this is the moment where I met you and I'm making this promise to you. That's why I encourage all of you so much to journal. There's so many prayer requests in my journal, and I go back in my journal and I see when God answers my prayer, I check it off and I write the date. And I cannot tell you how many times God answers my prayer. Sometimes 10 years later, right? Sometimes 1 month later, sometimes the very next moment that I write the prayer down. But those are moments that we need in our lives. Just like when you get married, for those of you who are married and you take your wedding vows, you have to take them seriously. Think about that. Think about those of you who are married, how serious you take your wedding vows and how much more seriously you should take your vows to the Lord. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. I know we're all struggling this morning. That's all right. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. And I want you to focus for a moment. I want to encourage you, the youth that are in this place. I know some of you made a vow. Some of you made a vow to the Lord. You promised him something. And you've not delivered. In fact, you've not even walked. You've not begun your journey. Like Jacob, he had a 400-mile journey to go. But not just 400 miles. He had to get to the place. Then he had to live his life. And then he had to come back. The process it took was over 14 years for him to fulfill his vow and for God to answer his vow. It takes time. It takes effort. It does. I mean, Jacob could have made that he could have had that vision from the Lord. He could have had that prayer time. He could have made the vow and just walked away, but he didn't. Those young people in this place, some of you have made vows, and I want you to recall them. Allow the Holy Spirit to recall it for you right now. Those are not things that you just talk about so effortlessly. You got to take them seriously. Some of us in this place who are married, We made vows before the Lord to love our husbands and our wives. Are you taking them seriously? Some of us have made vows to the Lord about many different things. Vows to trust Him. Vows to rely upon Him, to have faith in Him. Vows to serve Him in many different areas. And all the excuses we have run, but I want you to know that all those excuses are exactly that, excuses. God is waiting. God wants to see some action. He wants to see some action. Enough talk. He wants to see action. He wants to see you moving on your journey towards fulfilling your vow, your destiny for Him. Heavenly Father, I invite you into this place. I invite you into this place. Lord, still, I know some people in here could care less about you. Lord, and that just burdens my heart. Some of them need to get on this journey with you. So I pray for them this morning. Whatever it takes, that you meet them this morning. Whatever it takes, I pray for them. Whatever it takes, minister to them. Speak to their hearts. Let them know that you are real and alive. I don't know if you have to shake up their circumstance, if you have to challenge them, I don't know what it is. But remind them of who you are this morning. Some of us have made vows and we are at different stages of our lives and it's difficult. It's hard. But I pray you would encourage us to get moving. Encourage all of us to start moving, to fulfill the vows we have made, the promises that we have made to you. Help us not to take them lightly. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Convict our hearts this morning. We need to have a time of prayer. I want to ask all of you to just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. If you have made a vow and you have not been keeping it, I want to invite you to stand where you are. I know it takes guts. It's between you and the Lord. If you made a vow and you've not been keeping it, I want to invite you to stand and say, Lord, I didn't keep it. I've been struggling with it, but help me to follow through. Wherever you are in this place, all eyes closed and head bowed, please. Just stand where you are. If you made a promise to serve the Lord and you're not, stand up. If you made a promise to the Lord that you would do something, you haven't done it yet, stand up. Say, Lord, I'm here. It's been difficult, but you know what? I'm rededicating myself. I'm rededicating this vow to you. To stand where you are. This is just between you and the Lord. Arise. We're going to give you a few minutes. Just rise. Join your other brothers and sisters in the Lord. Just rise. If God's talking to you, God is talking to you, just rise. I'm going to offer this invitation one last time. Just join your brothers and sisters and just rise. If you know you have to fulfill that vow. You have to get working. You have to get moving. You have to get into the struggle. Just rise where you are. Father, this morning I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are standing. Lord, will you bless them? Will you bless them this morning overwhelmingly? For Lord, it takes courage to be able to move forward. So bless them with courage. Bless them with passion. Bless them with endurance. Bless them with favor. Bless them with energy. Help them to see through your eyes. We ask you, Lord, as you blessed us, Lord, we want to bless you too. And we say, God, provide their needs. As they run this race for you, provide their needs. Provide for their safety. Provide for restoration, recovery. Provide ministry and blessing. Provide brothers and sisters that will minister to them and encourage them. Provide them, Lord God. Provide them with everything that they need that they may serve you wholeheartedly. Will you bless them this morning? We know that you're honored by their willingness to step up and step forward. So we thank you, God.